I want to start by apologizing. I'm not the person who should introduce Kinos. Because year in and year out, especially the difficulties of last year, Kinos continuously becomes a challenge to me year after year. In appreciating what I'm saying, in understanding that Tisha B'Av is a day of tragedy, not because only of the destruction of two Bate Mikdashot, but of the general tragedy. But these words that we'll start with will help me try to get into a mood and understanding in the kinos that we'll be saying today, the gravity of the day, the understanding of what we're missing. Every holiday has something that we could grab onto. Every chag, of course, is not the way that it should be. We can't do Aliyah L'Regel. We can't think about the kapara of the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim. We don't have that. But on Rosh Hashanah, we have a shofar we can grab onto. We have a lulav that we could grab onto on Sukkos. We have the matzo, we have the Torah on Shavuos, the matzo on Pesach, and even on our smaller holidays, we have the menorah, we have a Megillah, we have a day of joy. There's nothing to grab onto on Tisha B'Av. And what's worse is I have a feeling that not only is there nothing to grab onto, we're a little bit annoyed that we have to sit here on the floor and recite kinos that doesn't mean much to us. Rav Yigal Cohen tells a story about a king. The king has to banish his son. His son is not acting the way that a prince should act. And it hurts the king so much. But he sets up for him an apartment far away from the kingdom and, of course, checks on him all the time. After this happened for a few years, the king tremendously misses his only son. And he asks the son to come back. And he tells his advisors, the king says, if he'll come back and he will ask for mechila, and he'll ask to come back to the kingdom, I'll have him because that will show me that he learned his lesson. And the son comes back and it's a big party. And the king is excited, the son is excited. And the son says, my dear father, the king, I ask a few minutes with you. I have a few requests. And the father has a big smile because he knows what's about to happen now. The son learned his lesson. The son will become the king. What a great ending to the story. The son sits with the father, the king, and he says to him, my dear father, my dear king, it's been so many years since I've been with you. Here it comes. Here comes the question. Here it comes. He says, but, you know, the mattress that I have in my apartment, it's really not that great. It's been a number of years. And the budget for clothing every year, you know, prices have gone up. And the budget that I have for food, you know, I need fancier food. And the king gets so upset. He says, are you kidding me? Your dream is to go back and have a nice mattress? What you want is to have nice clothing? You don't want to come back to the kingdom? You're making the wrong request. What's wrong with you? We do this every single day. The power of tefillah is so awesome. But we often ask for the wrong things. There are certain brachas in Shemona Esrei that mean a lot to us because they're close to home, Rachman al-Litzlan. People who need a refuah. We ask Hashem for bina and das. We can learn better so that we can know. But so many of the brachas are kashur, are connected to binyan beis hamikdash. Being able to see a Sanhedrin again. Being able to see that Semach David Avdecha Mehera Satzmiya. But we don't have kavana for those. We ask for the mundane, which is important, of course. But we don't ask to come home. The crying shame of this morning is that we don't care. We just don't care. We don't understand. We can't grasp at something and say, I was never there. I don't know anybody that was ever there. I don't know what a Beis HaMikdash is. If I was to focus on the number one thing that we're missing, the Shechina in our presence, I would relate to the Gemara in Chagiga and Daf Yud Gimel. The Gemara tells us a fascinating machlokas, if you will. The Gemara says that we all have malachim that protect us. And each of those malachim have six wings. The Gemara says, no, not six, it's four. Which one is it? Says the Gra, it's not a machlokas. One is before, Gemara says, one is before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. The malachim had six wings. And after the destruction, they had four wings. The Gra explains, the Vilna Gaon says, what do we learn from this Gemara? On each of the wings of every malach are the words, Baruch Shem Kivod Machuso Li'olam Vo'ed. That famous pasuk that we're not allowed to say out loud. On Yom Kippur, we get so excited to scream it because we know that it's something private between the Ribbono Shalom and the Malachim. Says the Gra, so which are the two are taken out after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? Baruch Shem is there. Li'olam Va'ed is there. Kivod Malchuso is taken away. Kavod Malchuso, that the Ribbono Sholem's presence is in this world and we can see it so clearly, that's what's taken. We call this a Chilul Hashem, a Chalal, an opening, a piece that's just not there. That's what we're missing today. That's not just about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. That's about anti-Semitism. That's the Ribbono Sholem shaking us to the core. In our entire lives, we've never seen a year like this. A year where thousands, Rabbi Yisai, thousands of Jews died. Over a million human beings died of COVID. Friends of ours, parents of our friends that we know died of this disease. That's the lack of Kavod Shamayim. That's the Ribbono Shel Olam trying to stir us at the core. And that wasn't it. Miron happened. That raw tragedy. It wasn't enough, Rachman al-Litzlan, that so many died, but it came so very close to home. We think about the Ribbono Shel Olam taking someone like Adani Morris, who many of us knew. And we question, which we're allowed to. Such a tzaddik. How can it be? A few weeks later, Carlin loses people on Erev Shavuos. And then a war starts in Eretz Yisrael. Over 4,000 rockets Rabbanu Shalom stirring us, so wake up. No. Surfside happens, we don't even think about it. Hundreds of Jews died. Hundreds of Jews' bodies have not yet been recovered. We talk about Beitar. How Nebuch, the bodies just stood there. We don't even care. We don't even think about it. We did COVID already. We had the Maron tragedy. That's the lack of Rabbanu Shalom's presence that we can see, but don't make the mistake. Rav Dessler tells the story about the understanding of what it means when the Shekhinah has left the building, and he says, it's not what you think. Imagine, this is hard to imagine this, but imagine waking up every morning and seeing the sun out. And morning after morning, in your bunk, so nobody has cleaned the windows. And as the summer moves and progresses, it's a beautiful sunny day. But because your window is so cloudy, you think it's cloudy outside. You think it's raining. And your friend says to you, just open the door and see. It's a sunny, beautiful day. The Rebbeinu Shalom's presence is totally on this in this world. Unfortunately, we have windows that are cloudy. We can't see his presence. The Briskerov says that of all the Ani Mamins, the number one difficulty is Ani Mamin Bemuna Shalem Mevias HaMashiach. I'm sure we sang this. V'afal pi she'yisma meya. We don't have any other Ani Mamin that starts with this very strange. We don't say, I believe that Moshe Rabbeinu was the Navi of all Naviim. And even though there are some questions on what Moshe did with the breaking the Luchos, I still think so. I believe the Rabbanu Shalom created the world, but even though, what is this Afal Pisha Yismamei? So he explains that there's two dinim, a typical Brisker. It's not just believing in Mashiach, it's wanting, it's pining for Mashiach. I told yesterday the boys in the Mechina program, you talk so much about living in Israel and how amazing it is. But you talk about the second step, it's called Mashiach, the uncomfortable conversation that we might have. I told them that in my office in New York, we have a good number of very religious Arabs, Muslims who are very religious from very religious countries like Syria. And they're excited because they finally could eat our food because it's halal, it's kosher, and that's good. And they didn't understand why for 9 days am I not allowed to eat meat. And I explained to them why. And they said, I don't understand the destruction of Al-Aqsa. I go, no, the Beis HaMikdash, that's where it's supposed to be. Uncomfortable conversation. But the answer is yes. The Briskerov says that it's not enough just to say, I want Mashiach. I really have to pine and every day say, I need Mashiach. Rav Aaron Salavechik says, that's why we say it. Semach Tov, Rav Decham, Eres, Atzmiach. Ukarna Tov, Mishuasach, Kivu, Shuascha, Kivinu, Kol Hayom. And I would add, not just Kol Hayom, every second we want Mashiach. When we talk about tragedy and all the kinos would be saying, the tragedy of the Holocaust, which we could somewhat relate to. The tragedy of pogroms. Of, yes, the Beis HaMikdash. Don't you understand that things would be so different if Kavod Shamayim was on this world? And the takeaway from all this is that we have to work today on feeling Hashem, lifnei Hashem, the way that we're mitaken Beis Mikdashenu, the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash is being mekadesh Shem Hashem. And yes, the glimmers of hope we see in this room. We see you guys learning. We see you guys bringing in campers to show them Kavod Shamayim, to show them the Torah. Hopefully, when you go out in the world and you go to a Walmart where they hardly have seen a Jew in their life, you act appropriately so they understand that the Jewish people are unique and nice and say thank you and say please. That's being able to see the Lifnei Hashem in this world. And on a year that we've seen so much tragedy, we ask the Ribbono Sholem to please stop shaking us. Stop war. Stop mothers who can't sleep at night. Because their sons are fighting a war that they shouldn't have to fight. Stop a son calling a father and saying, Abba, they tell me I'm not allowed to fast today because I have to serve in the army and it's 100 degrees outside. But I want to be frum, I want to be, but I can't be because... And instead, we worry about, well, is it cold enough in here? Is it going to be okay? Am I comfortable enough on the floor to have a pillow so I could lay down during kinos? That's not Kavod Shamayim. Think what you're doing today to bring the Ribbono Shalom into this world. You, not anybody else, you. That's what kinos is about. To see the destruction, to read about it, and then to say, okay, what am I doing? I don't care about who's around me. What am I doing to bring Lifnei Hashem? I'll end with a story that has stirred me to the core since I've heard the story. I had the great schus of working in a company many years ago called IDT. And there was a unique situation because in IDT, you know, many people go to work and they take their yarmulkes off. Here you had many people who put their yarmulkes on when they came to work because they know they were treated differently because there was a lot of frum people that were important there. And they had a base medrash there. And they had the schus of learning with an individual by the name of Leon Vox. Leon was a Russian Jew who was enamored through seeing so many frum people and he wanted to learn more. And he started the path, he became frum. And I said to Leon once, tell me the story. Was there any point that you just decided, that's it, I want to be frum? He said, Daniel, you have to understand something. I grew up in Russia. I can't explain to you, it wasn't that I wasn't religious. I didn't even know what religious meant. I didn't know what being Jewish meant. I knew I had a bris, and after that, my mother told me, that's it. No bar mitzvah, no nothing. She said, you're Jewish because you have a bris. And I came to America, unfortunately, lived in the wrong location, and my kids are just like I was. And now I start to come to this place, but he said, there was one story, there's one incident that happened, that after that, he said, I'm done. I can't live this life anymore. I need to be frum. My kids have to go to yeshivas. Many years ago, there was a march on Washington. There was a tremendous amount of anti-Israel sentiment, which we're seeing, of course, again. And there was a march at the Capitol to support Israel. Hundreds and hundreds of buses. And he said, I went. IDT sponsored a few buses. We went. And unfortunately, the way that things worked out, they did not have good logistics. We all parked in RFK Stadium, and the transportation to the Capitol wasn't working. We walked miles and miles to the buses. And we're walking back, and literally there's hundreds and hundreds of Jews walking. And he said, wouldn't you know it? Where there's hundreds of Jews, there's Chabad. And there's Chabad people with their tefillin. Say, you want to put tefillin, tefillin, tefillin? So the guy says, yeah, I didn't put tefillin on this morning, but I'll be honest with you. I can't put it on right now because I really need to join my group. I need to keep walking. I'm afraid I'll lose them. And they said, we're Chabad. We know how to put tefillin on while you're walking. Don't worry about it. And he starts to put his tefillin on. And he said, I start to feel the emotions of tefillin. And finally, as he gets on, I find myself alone in the middle of a street. I wasn't paying attention. And all of a sudden, there are four police officers who take out their guns, draw their guns. They've never seen tefillin before. And they say to him, he looks like he's a suicide bomber about to blow up all those Jews. He doesn't know what to say, so he looks at them and he says, no, I'm with them. I say, yeah, that's what you think. Not before we kill you. He said, I come from Russia. You're not allowed to put tefillin on in public. I didn't understand this had anything to do with terrorism. I actually thought that they were going to shoot me because I was wearing tefillin in public. And it was that moment that I said to myself, wow, I could die al kiddush Hashem. That was the moment that Hashem showed me his presence. He said, so close to me. I'll never forget that moment. We all have had moments. Maybe it's through singing. Maybe it's through a good tefillah, a good shir. But we have to take those moments and say, hey, wait a minute. I just saw Hashem's presence more than I've ever seen it in my life. Guess what? I want to take that with me. I want to pine. I want that in my life. That's Mashiach. But every day of every hour, you would feel that way. Leon said, when I felt that, I knew that that's something I could feel. I could have those moments. I need those moments. I need to become from. When we focus today on the tragedy through the kinos, I ask that you think about in your own lives how you can change things. How life can be different. How you want your life to be different. An end note to Leon Vax's story, which is crazy. I have not been in touch with him in many, many years. My father is part of Partners in Torah. And my father tells me a story that he has regards for me from his partner in Torah that he's teaching. His name is Leon Vax. 20 years later, the story comes full circle. He's learning now with my father. The Ribbono Shel Olam is here. He's present. He's just asking us not to ask for the wrong things. Say, Avinu Malkeinu, my dear father, my king, I love you, but I want life to be better, and I know that is only with Binyan Beis HaMikdash. And I know that I'm going to read about tragedy and the lack of Hashem, the lack of Kiddush Hashem, the Chalal. I ask Hashem, please let it mean something to me, that I change my life to want Mashiach, not just a statement I make, but I pine for it. I want it so very badly. Should be zoicha that our kinos are meaningful to us. We read the words, those that have English, read them in English, and let it mean something to us. And let us personally think about how we can change ourselves to want Hashem, to be Mekadesh Hashem, in everything that we do in our lives.